Richard Hendricks, former Alabama great, has been wonderful with his time here during this Alabama run, talking Alabama hoops with us multiple times down the stretch. And Richard, just want to get your thoughts on, first off, going back to that game. I want to know what you saw. I want to know what your basketball eyes took away from Alabama's performance against San Diego State.
Well, I think Alabama just ran into a team that matched up particularly well. You know, I've seen Alabama play a lot of times this season, and you know, the one thing that did concern me is that they did play against a team that was able to slow down the play pace and have strong defensive team with versatility and rim protection. And that just, unfortunately for Alabama, that's what San Diego State had. Alabama was playing a good basketball game to extend their lead up to 9, but not able to hit any shots in the money time. And that seemed to be a big role, and San Diego State made all the plays they needed to make to hold on to the win.
This type of team has kind of given Alabama fits all year long. I mean, Tennessee obviously had a good performance against them. UConn earlier this year, a good performance against them. So how does Nate Oates adjust in 2024, or 23-24, next year? How does he adjust to make sure a team like this doesn't get them again?
Well, first off, you know, Nate Oates has done a tremendous job at Alabama. When you talk about in the last 3 years, 2 Sweet 16s, 2 regular season titles, and 2 tournament titles, and to win 31 games or 30-plus games in a regular season or a record for the school, he's done an outstanding job. So it's hard to say what does he need to change, because I wouldn't change too much of anything with the success that Alabama has. But I think it's a hard pill to swallow when everyone sees a roster with so much talent and ability and you're favored to have an easy run to the Final Four and maybe win the national championship and you have a slip-up. I think in March that leaves a sour taste in people's mouth, because that's just how you judge. But if you look at what his team has, and you never know in this transfer portal era how things are, you don't know what your team's going to be next year, so who you're going to have. But as far as the personnel, if you continue to have the same type of personnel, if there's anything that you that I would say, and it could be just my personal opinion of what has to be added, is that when you do play a style, when you shoot volume threes, you play up and down, you shoot early in transition, you like three-pointers and you like layups. As I've said before many times, in the money time, you have to be able to knock down a shot over a contest, particularly in the mid-range, maybe talking about with post-ups and things of that nature. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change your identity as a coach or as a program, because I definitely wouldn't do that if I was head coach Nate Oates and what he's accomplished, not just at Alabama, but at Buffalo. He has a great brand of ball that's entertaining for people to watch, which is a component that people enjoy. But when you talk about playing against these tough teams, you have to have a level of physicality, and you have to be able to execute in the half court and hit tough shots, over contest, and play with a little bit of muscle at times. So if you can throw that into what you're doing, I think he would have the complete package of what can be a national championship caliber organization.
Visiting with Richard Hendricks on the Bud Light Hotline at rhendricks35. You can follow him on Twitter. Has moved into an analyst role for College Hoops, doing a great job this year, and appreciative of our time we've had with him this basketball season. A lot of folks say teams go cold or teams don't hit shots, and it's one of the reasons that you know, they bow out of this tournament. And Alabama did not shoot the ball well, 23 of 71, just 32% from the floor, 3 of 27 from 3, it's 11%. I want you to try to contrast for our listeners, when you watch that game, how much of that was missing shots and how much of that was because shots were being defended well?
Oh, a majority is because of shots are defended well. You have to give San Diego State credit. This is one of the best defensive teams in the country, particularly at guarding the three-pointer. If you go and check their statistics of what they've shot or guarded teams for shooting the three-pointer against them in the NCAA tournament, stifling. So you talk about length and versatility on the perimeter, and you understand when you're playing against Alabama, they're going for threes and they're trying to get shots in the cup. When they have a seven-footer in Mensah, who's a legitimate shot-blocking threat, a back-to-back Mountain West player of the year on the defensive end, when you're a guard, you're trying to funnel players off of the three-point line and influence them to take it all the way to the basket. Alabama played right into that. They shoot threes, which San Diego State contests very, very well with their length and their ability to press up in you. And then when you put it on the deck, they make sure to guide you all the way into the shot blocker. You saw in the clutch in the game, Javon Quinterly was taking a lot of balls into the interior, and it was just into the game plan in which San Diego State plays. So, you know, you have to give credit to teams, and they did an outstanding job. And even with that, Alabama, with 40-something seconds in the game, is only down two with an opportunity to stop and get the ball and win the game. So give credit to San Diego State. They played an outstanding game. They have great personnel, and that's why they're in the Final Four.
It is one of those. It's like, you know, it's hard to be frustrated because I feel like forever – the expectation level was, man, just get to the tournament, win a game, like just make the tournament every year, right? Like that was our expectation level. Like, hey, make the tournament every year, and now we're spoiled. You know, it's like after seeing Auburn break through, I know I as an Alabama guy want to see him break through. I want to see him get to the Final Four, and I thought this might be the year. But what do you make of just do you feel like this team played I don't want to say, do you feel like they're a disappointment? Because I feel like circumstantially you would say, yeah, it's a disappointment that the arguably the best team in the nation didn't make it to the Elite Eight. But at the same time, relative to our expectation level the last 15 years in hoops, it's still a really good year. So I'm having a difficult time kind of battling that internally. So how will you view them?
Oh, you're spot on. I mean, this is a phenomenal season. You're talking about 30-plus wins, the most ever. You dominate the SEC in the regular season and in the tournament play. You have an entertaining style of basketball that everyone enjoyed watching, and a box office freshman who came in and lit it up from the beginning to the end outside of his NCAA tournament. This is a season that anyone would take. I played there at a time coming in with a lot of fanfare as a McDonald's All-American and a home state kid. I would have loved to be walking around right now like Javon Quinterly with two SEC titles and two tournament titles and two Sweet 16. So to say what Alabama has done, to be disappointed, only has to be with the fact that you have reaching, like you said, seen teams break through like Auburn making it to a Final Four, and the expectations of this roster with a clean path as far as name brands are concerned to get to the Final Four. But as you see, the name brands in this style of play right now, in this era of college basketball, need to be thrown out completely. When you get players coming from the transfer portal, and y'all understand as athletes, when you have experience and you're older, then you're just better than a young prospect who comes in that's a five-star recruit. Now, the challenge is for a lot of these colleges and teams, how do you navigate getting the best players, how do you cultivate the best players, and how do you get them to show up in March? But if you look at what Alabama has done by bringing in great recruits, winning games, playing an exciting brand, and almost having a chance to do even more in March, I think you have to judge this season as a successful season and be pleased. I think the question moving forward is, how much do you keep on this roster? What happens in the future? How can this be long-termably sustained? And can Alabama finally break through and get to a Final Four, which everyone in the fan base would love to have? But for fans to be disappointed in this season, I think it shows a spoiled mentality that doesn't really understand, you know, college basketball and the history as a whole.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, Richard, take us through, before we let you run, kind of how you see this Final Four playing out. It's very different than a lot of people projected and maybe wanted to see, but you get FAU and San Diego State, that nasty defense for San Diego State. You just talked about an FAU team that seems to just be kind of like B+, A- across the board. There just doesn't seem to be any flaws with that roster. And then on the other side, a Miami team super athletic against what right now just looks to be far and away the best team playing the best basketball in UConn in this tournament. How do you see this thing playing out the rest of the way?
Well, it's hard to make a prediction because everything in this whole tournament has been wide open, as you can see. But what gets me is that when you look on this Final Four, everyone talks about the Blue Bloods not being there. If you look in the last 25 years of college basketball, the University of Connecticut has won the most national championships, and here they are again, find themselves in the Final Four. This is a team that was ranked number one in the country this year. They've pummeled teams in the NCAA tournament by far. I know everyone's excited right now with the run that FAU's making, San Diego State. You have some Cinderellas, as you may say, but here's a blue blood and a big dog right here in the fight. And Connecticut is playing outstanding. And if they can get past Miami, I don't see why they wouldn't be chosen as a favorite. But it's an interesting Final Four to watch. You got UConn, who I think is a blue blood and won several national championships, has the pedigree. A proven coach with Larrañaga in Miami and some veteran guards on that roster who can really do some things. A defensive-minded mentality with San Diego State that can grind you out. And then you have the Cinderella with FAU. And listen, when I heard Jonell Davis on his post-game presser after the second round when he dropped 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds, and when a man comes in the post-game presser with Jamie Erdahl and drops the profanity and says, hey, I'm just trying to feed my family, you better watch out for a guy like that. When they got that type of mentality and they got it going in the NCAA tournament and they want to eat, FAU could win the whole thing. So, I mean, this is going to be a wide-open thing, and it's going to be fun to watch, and this is what college basketball is supposed to be about.
What do you make of just kind of the veterans versus the young guys conversation that a lot of people are having today? You see, I mean, four teams with great veteran presence in the backcourt. You see veterans leadership across the board. Yes, are there some freshmen scattered around? Of course, but at the same time, I mean, most of these teams are old. And I think that right now might be the right recipe to chase a championship because you can emotionally handle things a little better as a 22-year-old than you can as an 18-year-old. So what do you think the right makeup would be moving forward for teams that have aspirations of winning a national championship?
Well, I definitely think experience and maturity is what you want on a team. But the question is, with the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, is how do you go about getting that? You know, if you're a school like Kentucky or in Alabama, even for saying, when you have a athletic department or an organization that people have high expectations, then the expectations also play a role in recruiting when you're recruiting what's rated as the best prospects. Now, as I've said so many times before, in college basketball, there's, in my opinion, zero correlation between a high-level NBA prospect and then a good college basketball player, and then also having that equal into college success in winning ball games. So you have to find the sweet spot of how do you find players that are good players from the high school level that can come in and also stay in your program long enough that you can build something so they can become experienced. Because if they're good enough, let's be honest. You know, I was a former McDonald's All-American. If you go and look at the NBA draft picks at a young age, from 16, 17 years old, once the recruiters or everyone determines who are the best players in the country and you make the McDonald's game, those are going to be the guys who are going to be in the NBA in the next 3 years. It's a track. So when you just look at it, it's hard for colleges to make a determination. Who do you go for? A guy who's going to be on your team maybe 1 or 2 years that you can't build something? Or do you try to have guys on your roster that you can hopefully say might fly under the radar and maybe they might stay around, but you can't anticipate that because maybe they stay around, maybe they don't. Maybe they jump in the portal, maybe you can't build it. So college coaches are in a very tough situation in which how do you build the team? And I think you get here in the NCAA tournament now, and a little bit of that is just who has the best culture that has been created in a short amount of time and how your team gets hot. Because the years of getting a veteran team on a big blue blood program with years and years of experience in the NCAA tournament, that might be over with. So it's how do you get that recipe to get veteran players? But absolutely, that's what you want to have is the experience.
Richard Hendricks has been great the last month and a half, coming on the show talking college basketball with us. Not just Alabama basketball, but college basketball. First thing I want to say is don't give up this broadcasting thing. It can be a very difficult path. It can be a frustrating path, but you're damn good at it. And so just keep pushing with it. And that might mean you have to do some things that you don't really like doing or want to do right away, but it's going to pay off for you. The second thing is, when I saw you were coming on today, I found this via Twitter. I'm going to credit Nate Oates' burner account. Not really, but that's the name of the account. Brandon Miller did a lot of good things. They point out 106 three-pointers, second most in Alabama history, 696 points, second most in Alabama history, SEC Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, Tournament MVP, All-SEC First Team. He also finished the season with a win share per 40 minutes of .241. I'm going to be honest with you, Richard. I don't know what the hell that is. But apparently it's a good thing because it's second all-time in school history behind 2007-2008 .248 from one Richard Hendricks. So,
oh wow,
the legend continues there on the capstone.
A little bit of love. I appreciate this. I mean, listen, you know, before the pre-Twitter age, it seems like I played in the Stone Ages. But, you know, good to get a little bit of a shout-out of people who might remember a little bit of that time and the impact that I was able to make. But nonetheless, I mean, to be right up there along with what Brandon Miller did with this sensational season, I mean, it's definitely something to see.
There you go. We'll have you back next year on a regular basis, Richard. Looking forward to it, man.
Thank y'all for having me. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon. Richard Hendricks joining us on the Bud Light Hotline.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.